Hello and welcome to Business Line Podcast. I'm your host, Venkatesha Babu, Deputy Editor and Chief of Bureau, Business Line Bangalore. Today, we have an interesting guest to talk about the infotech industry. It is one of the few genuine successes India has had on the global stage, especially after the 1991 economic reforms. Industry body NASSCOM estimates that this year, the IT industry will be about $194 billion, including about $150 billion in export of software services and business process management. The industry employs about 4.4 million white-collar workers and several multiple of that indirectly. Karnataka has been at the forefront of the IT revolution in the country, contributing almost a quarter of the IT/ITES exports from India. The person who is tasked with facilitating growth of the sector is the Dynamic Minister for Higher Education, Information Technology and Biotechnology, Dr. C.N. Ashwath Narayan. He's a qualified physician. Dr. Narayan did his MBBS from the Kasturaba Medical College, Manipal. Prior to entering public service, Dr. Narayan was an entrepreneur running a clutch of educational institutions. Apart from the above mentioned portfolios, Dr. Narayan is also in charge of the skill development and entrepreneurship in the state. Welcome to Business Line Podcast, Dr. Narayan.
Thank you, sir.
First, let me start off by asking you, where is Karnataka today in terms of its positioning as far as IT and ITES exports is concerned? Does it still continue to punch above its weight as far as the contribution to the national export of software services and PPM?
At present, the IT and ITS export, what is happening in the state of Karnataka is around $58 billion software export has been happening. So further to strengthen this, we are trying to expand it beyond Bangalore, and as well as strengthening the city of Bengaluru also, in whatever possible ways we can strengthen, we are doing all the required things. So in this direction, we have come out with many policies in consultation with the industry to encourage more and more establishment and for the growth of the industry, providing them the skilled manpower. The most important is the skilled manpower. So in this direction, the national education policy has come very handy to ensure the qualified and the skilled manpower will be available in plenty, because the growth is going to happen in much more bigger way, because almost all the services will be IT enabled and all the companies will become technology companies. All possible institutions will become technology companies. So fully knowing what kind of potential is there in the future, we are trying to gear up in all the forms to accelerate the present talent and build a future talent, not only in the STEM, in the non-STEM also, we are trying to promote it. And more so, the national education policies are very forthcoming and very progressive to address all the future requirement. Probably will be not second to none in the terms of education. In the matter of next 20 years, we'll be in the topmost order of the providing the quality education.
I'll come to the Beyond Bangalore push, Dr. Narayan, in a moment. But after becoming the IT and BT minister of the state, what have been your key priorities distinct from what the earlier regimes have done?
The IT startups, ITS, and technology-enabled services and digitalization has become the order of the day. And particularly in the backdrop of the COVID-19, completely the physical world is shifting to the virtual world. So for all this good reason now, entire world has been betting on the virtual world and IT-enabled services. And from agriculture to space, everything is dependent on IT-enabled services. So because of all these good reasons, we're trying to promote and strengthen and adapt, not only promote, adaption also, integration, adaption, everything should happen. It will strengthen and improvise the way we have been providing solutions, and whatever problems we have been facing in the society can be very effectively addressed and tackled through the adoption of the technology and as well as the digitalization. So in this direction, we have seen what kind of changes been dynamically been happening in our daily lives in our society. So in the school education also, the coding will come into picture, and will ensure that the digital learning will be given the topmost emphasis, and the learning and the coding will be promoted in much more bigger way. By doing all these things, the integration of the technology also will be promoted in much bigger way. Even the last man in the society gets the benefit. The real equality and the inclusion can happen through the technology. How much of difference it has made now by adopting the Aadhaar or the payment gateway, how the things are transacting in a matter of seconds. We're able to transact with anybody, anywhere across the world. And this has benefited the real society. And so we are looking forward, and as an IT and BT minister, we're trying to promote IT-BT in a very big way.
Sir, the criticism in the past has been that the industry is too concentrated in Bangalore, choking up the infrastructure of the city. The city has not been able to keep up our pace with the kind of growth which the IT industry has seen. What specific steps have you taken to push this industry beyond Bangalore into tier two cities like Mysuru, Hubballi, Tumkuru, Gulbarga, and other places too, sir?
Since we want a uniform growth of the state, not just a concentrated growth, we want to have a uniform growth across the state in this direction. We are trying to take the technology, startups, innovation, everything beyond Bangalore. So in this direction, we have come out with many policies: beyond Bangalore policy, IT policy, ESDM policy, engineering R&D policy. Many more policies have been brought out to encourage the establishment of the companies beyond Bangalore. And as well as the growth of the industry, we are expecting the growth in next 5 years to the growth to happen not less than 6 times of the present size. So this 6 times the growth, if it is going to happen, only Bangalore cannot absorb all these things in the next 5 years. Probably extending it beyond Bangalore will be the best solution. And that's the way forward. So we are trying to avail these benefits or the opportunity what has been there within the next few years. And along with this, the COVID-19 has become more conducive for us to take it beyond Bangalore. Since earlier, they never even imagined that the things can be done from remote places, from anywhere, or work from home. The services can be provided. That kind of confidence was not there earlier. Now the COVID has shown you can work from anywhere. Many of them have moved back to their respective places. So now this confidence has been created, and even the companies are quite comfortable allowing things to go on beyond Bangalore.
India this year created more unicorns than even China. Traditionally, Bangalore has been the startup capital of India. What have you done to further foster this startup culture, and any specific steps taken by your government, sir?
As you rightly pointed out, now more than 50 to 60% of the unicorns are from the state of Karnataka, that particularly Bangalore. And we are very proud of it. And such kind of entrepreneur, innovators, startups are based in the state of Karnataka. It is a real pride for the state and the people of the state that such a good number of startups or the unicorns are from the state. So in this direction, we have got many program. Elevate program has been designed, and Elevate for women especially, and for the socially and economically disadvantaged group also, we are providing Elevate Unnati. And along with this, as a celebration of the 75 years of celebration, even our Honorable Chief Minister announced in a Amrit Mahotsav, Amrit Startup Program, especially for the disadvantaged section, it has been designed. And in days to come, we are going to have cluster-based startup funds. We are going to provide more and more funds for the cluster-based, and we are going to encourage in every possible area the startups. And along with this, the procurement policy, what has been announced in the state of Karnataka, we are giving a lot of space for the startups to get into the procurement of the state procurement. We are giving them very good opportunity. EMD has been exempted. And we have made mandatory for the bigger companies to have startups, at least minimum 20% of their contract should be given to the startups. And even the startups have been given eligibility criteria in the terms of experience and in the turnover. Exception has been given up to 2 crores of supply can be done by the startups to various departments in the state of Karnataka. By doing all these things, we are encouraging the newer companies and the new startups to come forward, be part of the supply chain, and getting them a lot of employment and business opportunity. And more so with regard to the ecosystem, it has become a culture. It has become a culture in the state of Karnataka, and we are coming out with many policies which is conducive and very encouraging. And we have brought in an innovation authority wherein the startup, whatever has been initiated, whichever becomes successful, whatever the tweak in the laws or the changes in laws to be brought in, we are doing it in a very rapid and very good response, or the immediate response will be given to bring out a new laws, which is conducive and encouraging for the startups and with regard to the funding and the investors also. If you look at the kind of investment being happening in the state of Karnataka, more than 50% of the foreign direct investment coming into the India is been 50% of the share has been taken by the Bengaluru and Karnataka. And more so, many investors are based in Karnataka and Bangalore. They have been given a lot of encouragement, a lot of incubation centers. Lots and lots of incubation centers have been established, common instrumentation facilities been established, new age incubation networks been established. And more so, the national education policy is very conducive and encouraging. We are encouraging even the universities to come out with a lot of incubators in their campuses to encourage this culture of startup in every levels of learning.
In terms of deploying technology to ensure more effective governance, what steps has the Karnataka government taken in the recent past, sir?
From the year 2000 itself, government of Karnataka took a lot of interest in the terms of digitalization and adapting of the technology. In this direction, the Bhoomi was the first project which was initiated in the state of Karnataka. And
it has been initiated nationally. Bhoomi
yes,
was a
nationally and internationally, it was recognized. E-markets, which was initiated in the state of Karnataka. Like that, many programs were initiated in the state of Karnataka. Now we are providing the platform, all the department, so that these platforms are made use to simplify the entire process, and the governance has been based on e-governance. E-governance based governance we are providing. So that earlier we used to talk about, you know, providing the services to the doorsteps. We have gone ahead and we're now telling the services is at the fingertips. Mm-hmm. We're trying to provide the services at the fingertips. Now digitalization of education has been happening in a very rapid pace. The state of Karnataka, it is not just limited to the edutech companies. The same has been adapted by the government of Karnataka with regard to the medtech, even in the health field also, we're trying to completely adapt the digital technology and ensuring the medical technology remote services is being provided across the state. And in all possible, all departments, technology has become the way forward to easily provide the services and reach out to the every possible person in the any given place, any given situation. So Aadhaar also has become very unique. Uniquely, Aadhaar has encouraged the digitalization, and along with the Aadhaar, the payment gateway has also encouraged, the e-commerce has been growing, and all these good reasons we can do extremely well. The ecosystem is growing so well, and I think we can flourish. The flourishing of the technology will happen, and this has become the way forward, which our society makes use of it. It will benefit a lot, and they can do well.
Starting Wednesday, the 17th of this month, you have the Bengaluru Tech Summit, which is the 24th edition of that. What are you trying to achieve by holding the summit? How many countries have you partnered with? And who all are well-known speakers who will be talking at this tech summit, sir?
Now, we are expecting more than 30 countries to participate in the Global Innovation Alliance and in the Bengaluru Tech Summit. The Global Innovation Alliance has been growing in a very big way. The collaboration has been happening between government to government, institution to institution, and between the business stakeholders. The kind of platform what has been created, easily the Global Innovation Alliance countries are able to easily interact with all the stakeholders, particularly with the innovators and technology companies, very easily the platform has been simplified. And more so, the startup companies are also benefited in a very big way, because they are able to understand and get information what is happening in the counterparts on the other side, and as well as showcase with them the kind of advancement what has happened here, and get the potentially sharing of information, and collaboration can happen between country to country, company to company, and institution to institution. And companies also will get our state companies and our state startups also will get a global opportunity, a opportunity and a market access in different level, and getting leverage to, and getting the opportunity to leverage their companies in global level. These are the, some of the finest things which is happening, and it has been happening in the both the way the benefits has been passed on, and more so through all these things, ultimately the investment also flows. Investment for the potentially good startups, they get a lot of funding, and they'll be requiring a lot of funding, and as well as the support system, mentoring, support system, finance, everything flows in, and thereby doing that, everyone is benefited, and more so a solution is provided to the society with regard to the whatever challenges being faced in the society. We'll be able to get a lot of solution as well as the disruption in many of the areas.
So and thereby a lot of transformation. I'm given to understand are also expected to address the summit.
Yes, sir. Along with this, our two prime ministers, the prime minister of the Israel, Naftali Bennett, is going to address us, and as well as Scott Morrison, prime minister of Australia, is going to address. This is something, you know, really unimaginable, and things are happening. Things are happening, and they're showing a lot of interest to come forward to be part of the Bengaluru Tech Summit. Bengaluru Tech Summit is growing strength to strength, and year on year it is growing in very much bigger size, and it's reaching a global heights in a very in a positive way and a good way.
One of the key concerns of the industry right now is the huge war for talent which is happening because of very high attrition rates. This year the industry is probably to see double digit growth, which means that there is a demand for a huge number of skilled workers, and there is a short supply as far as that is concerned. You're also the minister for skilling in the state. What is being done to address this shortage, sir? Are you working with both industry and academia to address this shortage?
At present, for the immediate requirement, what we are trying to do is accelerating the talent. The existing talent itself, we are trying to accelerate and ensure that they rise up to the industry standards and requirement. There are many people who are still looking for an opportunity. We're trying to scale them up, and existing manpower also we're trying to upskill. And even the industries have been doing the same to upskill. And along with this, the supply of the manpower also, the skilled manpower, we're trying to strengthen and collaborate the relationship between the institution and the industry, and ensure that the students passing out of this institution are up to the industry requirement, and they are ready for the employment. And we are increasing the numbers and ensuring whatever requirement numbers are required by the industry will be fulfilled from all the direction. And already the double digit growth is happening now. More than 12-14% growth is started already, the growth of the industry, and days to come probably it will increase by double the growth rate. What is existing already, we have 12-14% growth is been happening, and we can expect double of that.
Sir, one of the recent criticism against your government leveled by the opposition is relating to an alleged scam around a Bitcoin hacker. How has the government tried to address that, sir? Are there any indications at all that this actually happened? As the technology minister of the state, how are you ensuring data security to all the relevant government portals? Because that's been one of the accusations, that he hacked into a Karnataka government portal too.
So in this direction, cyber security has become a most important area. We are coming out with a cyber security policy to address the concern and strengthen all the institution and empower, train, and create a lot of awareness with regard to the cyber security. The cyber security policy will be really forward-looking, and and it's going to safeguard the interest of all the customer, consumer, and the industry. I can assure you, days to come, probably as the digitalization and the innovation has been expanding, similarly, the cyber aspect also needs to expand and cater to the requirement safeguards. So with regard to the Bitcoin, government has been always very transparent and accountable, and we have ensured there's no scope for any confusion. The investigation has happened. So for whatever investigation breakthrough has happened, already we have shared every possible information on the public domain. And whatever investigation still it is going on from the Enforcement Directorate or CBI, we allowed them and we have given all the cooperation, even from the state, the investigation has been going on. And the law of the land, the courts also have seized up the matter. The hearing has been going on in various courts. So in this direction, we are not trying to conceal anything. The opposition is free to come forward to show and produce whatever information if they possess, they are free to furnish and keep it in the public domain. They are most welcome. Probably they are not having any information, just like that they are making statements.
Mm-hmm. Given the global semiconductor chip shortage, the government of India has been talking of encouraging fabs, setting up of fabs in India. Will Karnataka government aggressively pursue and woo anybody looking to invest or set up such fabs in the country, sir?
Definitely, it has become the requirement since the consumption of the devices or the electronic goods has been, the demand and the consumption has been increasing drastically. And that to a developing country like ours, probably there's a vast scope. So instead of depending on imports, probably one day suddenly our requirement will not be fulfilled by some other country. We need to become self-reliant. So in this direction, the manufacturing of the semiconductor has to happen and assembling of the semiconductor has to happen. At present, we are good in designing the chips. So days to come, we need to manufacture and assemble in the in our country. We'll be hoping and we are confident that most of the manufacturing and assembling of the semiconductor will happen in the state of Karnataka. We are going to focus more and more on electronics of manufacturing. So we'll be trying to give more and more emphasis on this direction, encouragement and emphasis.
Hopefully the fab manufacturing does happen. Thanks, sir, for your time. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for your insights.
Thank you, Venkatesh. Thank you so much.